Hebrews 10:25, in the New Testament. It's kind of a stopping point. We're not going to stay there, but for a moment. Hebrews 10:25 says, speaking to the saints, the church of Jesus Christ, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That day is the day of Jesus Christ, when He'll reappear and call His church home to be with Him. Amen?
Amen.
Let's ask Him to bless what we're doing here today. Lord, we come in faithfulness to You, but not only that, we come out of love for You. And we come out of love and obedience. We want to obey what You say in Your Word, not to forsake the gathering of the saints. So, Lord, we come in obedience and we come in love to proclaim You to one another, to encourage one another by Your presence and by Your Holy Spirit, Lord, who You gave to us so we could continually be encouraged with His presence. And so, Lord, we give You praise and glory for loving us and saving us and then lifting us up moment by moment by letting us have Your Holy Spirit dwelling within us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to lean on the Holy Spirit, to follow Him, to obey Him, that we might encourage one another moment by moment, day by day, until we see Your face. Help us to do it, Lord, because we know this is pleasing to You and it's good for us. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Today, I would like to focus on life in the community. Not so much the whole community, but this community of believers. Although we affect that community out there. And we'll get to that in a moment. Our community, this church, is really a living organism. You understand that, right? We are the body of Christ, and we live through Him, and He lives through us. This church lives, as we do, in Jesus Christ. We live in Him to do His will. This is why we are told not to give up meeting together, as I read in Hebrews 10:25. Do not forsake the gathering of the saints. Because when we gather together, we honor the Lord and proclaim Him until the day He comes. Do you know how many people drive by here every Sunday morning? I don't either. But I know everybody that drives by here sees that parking lot full of cars. And they have to be thinking, look at all those people that are going to church. Yes, even in the rain. And I hope that they'll wonder about it enough to one day pull in and find out what's going on.
Amen.
That is your testimony to all those people. You are encouraging them to find out. We live in Jesus and for His service and glory, do we not? But the question is, how do we live like that? How do we go day by day fulfilling that command of His to love one another and encourage one another? How do we do it? Well, let's consider some of the aspects of living in Christ and living in faith in Christ, all right? First, we're going to talk about this. We should live the Christian life in community with others. We are not lone rangers doing our own thing out there. We actually have a manual on how to do things, how to bring glory to the Lord. And that's why we get out the Lord's Word and we look at it and study it and preach from it, because it's our how-to. Christian encouragement comes by living in the Christian community. So when we gather together, we're encouraging one another. You're not going to get that kind of encouragement out there. It's not going to happen. And when they find out you are a Christian out there, they're going to take issue with you. That's why you need to be here, learning how to combat that negativism out there. So the Christian life is meant to be lived in community, not alone. This is why we are told not to give up meeting together. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to encourage each other to do what? Run the race. Yes, we're in a race. A race to see how many people we can tell about Jesus, right? Do we ever think of it that way? Do you ever think about that's the race? We often think about the race, how we're going to keep running in the race. I don't think about running in the race. He's empowered me to run the race. He's given me the Holy Spirit to help me run the race and keep me in the race. The thing I have to fight is my unwillingness to open my mouth and talk about Jesus. Amen. And you can do that anytime, any place. It's just, are you willing to do it? Are you willing to share Jesus while you run the race of faith with endurance, and help each other see things we otherwise wouldn't notice? And I'm not talking about out there. I'm talking about ourselves. Things about ourselves that we don't notice. Or if we do notice, we kind of quash it down. You know, because that's really not how we want to be, even though it's there. And we have to learn how to deal with that. I'm talking about things that sidetrack our walk in the Spirit. Because we're continually walking with the Spirit. But when we do things that are not pleasing, when we don't follow the Spirit, then that makes us run afoul. Well, what do we do about that? We pray and ask for forgiveness and get right back in the race. Because if you don't, then you're out of the race. You're not racing for the Lord anymore. So you have to pray and get back in the race. Those things that sidetrack us, we need to be aware of them and pray about them. These faults are more readily identified within the believing community. Sad to say, but we will see these things in other people, won't we? But do we say this? I noticed this about them. Wonder if I'm that way too. Do I examine myself and think, how can I improve? I need to look at myself more closely, right? Is that okay with the Lord? Of course it is. He wants us to be at our best for Him. Well, looking at these things is difficult and can be risky, especially if you don't have the right perspective and you're kind of loose-lipped. Because when you notice things about people, you shouldn't run to them and, you know, no, that won't work. You have to lovingly encourage, right? Lovingly encourage. Encourage that spiritual growth, that fellowship that we all need to have for one another. Because it's a tough old world out there, isn't it? And if we don't help each other, we're going to have a really hard time. So I recommend that we do help each other. We have to peacefully encourage each other to pursue the things of God that build us up. Do you ever think that to yourself? Am I building people up by the things I say and do? Well, that's what the Lord wants. So ask yourself that sometimes. Don't ask other people about it. Just ask yourself. You know who will give you the answer? God will, the Holy Spirit in you. And He'll do it lovingly. He'll show you where you can improve. Unless you continue to resist. And then He'll do things to get you back on track. Because He loves you. Just like you love your children, if you had children, you didn't get on to them because you were mean to them and that's the way you wanted it to be. No, you got on to them to encourage them to do right. Am I correct? Of course I am. You love them and wanted them to do the right thing. And that's the way the Lord is with us. So we must first ask the Lord to show us the foundational truth. Do you know what it is? It's love. It's love. Yes, the gospel is love. It's God's loving us. God loving us. And encouraging us to love one another. Do it in love. His love. Stop and ask yourself, how can I do it? Or you get an idea to do something. First stop and say, Lord, how can I do this? Call on the Lord. Call on Him and see if He encourages you in a certain direction. He's going to encourage you to imitate Him. That's what He's going to encourage you to do. He's going to encourage you to lovingly care for one another. That doesn't involve getting on to each other and sometimes maybe even getting angry. No, it involves sacrifice on your part, just like it did for the Lord. His love and obedience to God caused Him to sacrifice Himself for the plan of salvation. You're part of that plan. You became part of that plan the day you recognized that the Lord wanted you to be saved and you said yes. You understood it and said yes. Now you're part of the plan. Always remember to show love when you're trying to encourage someone. Because I'm going to tell you right now, biting and biting back doesn't work. It doesn't work. It pushes us apart. So we have to show love as we do these things. And always remember that our goal in sharing Christ's encouragement is the sharing of Christ's love. He wants us to share His love. Tell them the good news. Tell them that, yes, He knows they've done some things that aren't that great. In fact, they're sinful. But He still loves us. He wants us to come to Him. Amen? He's always loving. So we need to always remember to encourage one another in love. Scripture says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love. And then good works. Love comes first. If you don't do the love part, you're not going to get to the good works part. You're going to run amok. Do what the Scripture says. Love one another, then do the good works. Our personal goal as believers should be to be light. The light of the Lord. To be light to others in this dark world. That's our assignment. Be the light of Christ. Encourage and love one another, not just the lost. They need it for sure. But we all need love and encouragement. Amen. All the time. And we never know what people are going through. When they come through that door or we meet anywhere, anytime, we don't know what's happening. So we need to show the love. And then maybe they'll open up and share their need. And then we can act Christ-like and help supply the need. Number one need, love. Show the love. And then you can move on to the good works. Show it to everybody. Show love to the lost and the saved. Show believers also. as we encourage one another to love and do loving works. We don't come to church to hear angry words and negative things, do we? We come here to be encouraged. And I hope that I can be encouraging to you. Encourage one another. Live the Christian life in community, in this community, by encouraging one another with love. Next, give this community a true rendition of Christ's love. Be true in your love so that we'll know that you are genuine. Before Jesus was crucified, he gave his disciples a new command. He said, love one another. Love one another. We talked about those disciples this morning in Bible study before church and how they were rough, gruff fishermen and people of the day-to-day grind of living. I'm sure they went to the temple as often as they could. I'm sure they went and saw their rabbis as often as they could. But you know what? They were like us. They're about life. They're about life. And they get busy and they kind of put that on the back burner. But we need to keep love for one another on the front burner and never forget it. Jesus went on to say, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They'll know this if you love one another. If you don't, what are they going to think? I'll tell you what they're not going to think. They're not going to think about Jesus. We want them to think about Jesus. Amen. We just described his love as honest, risky, transparent, Scripture-based and encouraging. And now we're going to add this, Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. That means caring love. That's the only thing you have on your mind in that kind of love is, how can I care for this other person? How can I be Jesus to this other person? That's genuine love that he wants you to show. That's the love he wants you to show. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Well, what does that mean? Giving preference to one another. Putting them first. Putting them first. And I'll just say, as much as you can. Because sometimes you can't do everything that person needs. But you can do something. You can pray with them. You can give them directions to somewhere where they might get some more help. You know, we have all kinds of resources in our world today. Help them find those resources so that you can be kindly affectionate to them with brotherly love and honor, giving them preference. And remember this, 1 Peter 4:8. He adds to this, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Right. What is fervent love? How would you define fervent love? I'll tell you how I would define it. Consistent. Consistently showing the love of Christ and sharing it every time you get an opportunity. Every time you see somebody needs some TLC. You know what that is, right? Tender loving care. Every time you see that, you offer it. You stop and offer it. Yes, it'll be sacrifice. But after all, didn't Jesus sacrifice for us? Are we not imitating Him? Will sacrificial giving be part of that? And I'm not talking about money passing the place. I'm talking about time and effort and maybe some material that you have that can help them out. Yes, kindness. That's what we're talking about. Above all things, have fervent love for one another, because that will cover a multitude of sins. You help somebody, you might keep them out of trouble because they're looking to meet their need, are they not? No telling how they're going to do that. But if you help them, maybe they'll do it in a way that they're okay and they won't offend anyone else. That's what we're looking to do, help them. So not hiding sin, but uncovering sin through confession, dialogue, and the blood of Christ. We help them meet their need, and we encourage them with Christ and His Word and His Holy Spirit. Amen. All those things. We're not trying to hide the sin. We're not trying to gloss over it. We're trying to reveal it and deal with it so they can go on with the Lord. That's what we want, isn't it? And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The remedy for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We ought to be the remedy, or at least try to be the remedy, and enlist the help of each other to be that remedy. Listen, God loved us enough to suffer the rejection of those who rejected Him. We kind of gloss over that. We say, oh, there's a lot of that rejected Jesus. They didn't want anything to do with Him. He suffered that rejection. He felt that rejection. Did He give up? No, He didn't give up. He kept right on with obedience to the Father, sharing the love, sharing the care, leading them to a place where they could walk with God in the Spirit. And that's what He wants us to do. Our acceptance of the risk of rejection is also part of our call to love one another. You will be rejected. Jesus said it. In this world you will have tribulation. Part of that is rejection by others simply because you trust Christ. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep going. We serve each other through confession, dialogue, and the blood of Christ. We accept the risk. As we go out and share the Lord, we're accepting the risk. But be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. He doesn't leave us in that place of rejection and sorrow. No, He brings us out of that by saying, I'm with you and I have won the victory. Come and share it with me. And we will one day. We can every day. With the right mindset, we imitate our Lord as a testimony to our community. We represent each other as well as the Lord when we go out. And do you think people talk? They do. Do you think they talk about this church? They do. And what do we want them to say? We want them to give a good testimony of us. How do we make that happen? We imitate the Lord in His ways. We won't do it every time, but we should try. And He will lift us up and help us to do it. Amen? We want a good testimony. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Now we're talking about love that cares for one another. Not the kind of love that tries to get something from somebody. No, we want the kind of love that we're trying to give to somebody. Amen. Give them peace and love and the Holy Spirit because they've trusted Jesus Christ because of the message we've given them. That's what we want to do. Because God is love, believers can and should encourage each other by performing the good work of forgiving one another. We have little rubs here and there. We get rubbed the wrong way. Take care of it. Don't let it go on. Because if you do, it's going to grow. And the next thing you know, you're going to be avoiding someone because they rub you the wrong way. But the Lord doesn't want that. He wants love. He doesn't want separation. And sometimes love has to be a little bit tough. You have to be honest. But don't demand your own way. It's this way or not at all. No, it's some give and take. Because you want to foster the growth of love. You want peace and love in the community. Do you not? Of course you do. And so we must promote that by being honest, being transparent, being forthcoming. Hey, can I talk to you for a minute? You know, the other day when that happened, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And I just want to know if I understand, and I want to get it straightened out because I don't want anything to separate me from you, and I certainly don't want to be separated from the Holy Spirit. I need to take care of this. Can you help me do that? Let's work it out. And if you get to a point where you're not gonna talk it out right then, that's okay. We'll talk again. Let's just pray about it, and we'll talk again. And depart. You don't have to stay there and hash it out until it's all done. Have mercy. Show grace. Sometimes a little time can help. But don't just let it keep going on and on. Amen? We want to encourage one another. That's one way we can encourage one another. To be honest and transparent. Remember, give the community this true rendition of Christ's love. Love one another enough to be honest and forthcoming. Amen? Then practice sacrifice by stepping off our throne. Step off the throne of your life, giving care to others as did Christ. Our Lord sacrificed His position. He stepped off His throne, did He not? He came from glory to this. And He didn't come demanding to be recognized as God. He came to be part of this, to show us God, and also to become our salvation. He did that as well. Our Lord sacrificed His position, stepped off His throne to fulfill God's action of giving care to humanity. That's how He showed His care. He came. Living in the Christian community means being consumed with imitating Jesus to the greatest possible extent we can do it. Some days will be better than others. Just being honest. But we can always come back to it, can't we? Always include the Lord in it. Don't leave Him out. Let the Holy Spirit have His way. Living in the Christian community means being consumed with imitating Christ and giving care. Give care sacrificially. It's not always going to be convenient. It's not always going to be a happy thing. But giving care is going to be the sacrificial thing that we need to do. God selflessly sacrificed Christ for our sake. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, He, God, made Christ to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. He came to care for us and help us become His righteousness. Give care by humbly serving. Christ humbly left His throne for our care. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of God did not come to be served, but to serve, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. He showed us how to serve. He showed us how to become righteous. And then He even went a step further and gave us the Holy Spirit to help us. We weren't left alone. And He also showed us about giving unconditionally, giving care unconditionally. I'm talking about caring for one another, helping one another in that way. Romans 5:8. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how much He cared. He knew who we were. He knew how we were. But He came because He cared. Without Christ's sacrifice, who in this world would care? Who cares enough in this world to give their life for you? There may be some. The Lord had to come off His throne, leave glory, make the necessary sacrifice for us so we would know what imitating Christ should look like as we imitate His model of caring and providing loving care. The care will become more and more evident publicly as we practice sacrificing our position, our throne. You may have to come off your throne to show care. We should practice Christ's love by promoting and encouraging His ways of sacrifice while living in the Christian community. Where else are you going to be able to practice it and be understood? Well, did you see what they did? Oh, don't worry about it. They're just practicing love. Right? We can help them. We'll practice too. Let's practice together. I think the Lord would be pleased with that. The Christian community should be a safe place to practice loving care. We should do it moment by moment. We should practice Christ's love by promoting and encouraging His ways of sacrifice while living in the Christian community. I'm not talking about dying physically. I'm talking about giving up little things that we tend to hang on to. Let some of those things go and show love. We should practice Christ's love by promoting sacrifice of position to provide Christ's care within the Christian community. What do I mean by that, sacrifice of position? I'm too good to do that. We had a lesson on that this morning. Lucian brought it. Foot washing. Oh, I'm too good to get down there and wash feet. No, he wasn't, was he? He showed them, you want to be like me? Learn to sacrifice your ego. Amen. Humble yourself. Serve me from love and care. We should practice Christ's love by promoting sacrifice of position to provide Christ's care within the Christian community. Simply helping one another when we see the opportunity. Amen? We practice loving each other like Christ by forgiving one another, Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Did you suddenly become perfect and the Lord said, oh, I can work with you now. I can. No. He took us as we were and brought us forward. And that's what we need to do. We need to do it in love and tender-hearted care, as it says in Ephesians 4:32. We can bear with one another even when times or people are difficult. Do people ever get difficult? Happens, doesn't it? Colossians 3:13 says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord forgave us. Forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven each of us. So you also have that option. Doesn't say that. It says, so you also must forgive. You want to walk in the Spirit?
Amen.
There's one thing that you need to do. You must forgive. Can't hold on to it. When someone is in need, we can practice loving one another by tangibly meeting the need, or by building them up and helping them grow in Christ. Maybe that's the need they have. They could meet their need if they would just grow up in Christ some. And we can help them do that. Romans 14:19 says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace. Let's find ways to have the peace of Jesus in our community. That's what we're looking for. And the things by which one may edify one another. That means build each other up. Build each other up. It's also described in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, comfort each other and build each other up. Edify one another just as you also are doing. I found that verse was quite appropriate for us because we do make the effort to build each other up. We can keep growing in that area, can't we? Do we ever need to stop growing in that area? No, we don't. We can keep growing. We may have to step outside our comfort zone in order to encourage one another to increase love and good works in ways that we would not naturally pursue. You might have to get out of your comfort zone. Do some things you don't want to do. To build up the love in the community. You can do it. How do I know you can do it? Because He is with you and in you. And if you will humble yourself to Him, you can do it. We can be encouraged as we see others living out godly values. You know, that's how we mostly learn as humans. We see somebody doing it. Well, I think I could do that. And so we do it. And it works both ways. We just need to focus on the positive ways of the Lord. We can do it. By this, the world can also see the real love of Christ. We can go out there and talk till we're blue in the face, but if we're not showing the love, it's not going to go anywhere. To practice loving each other like Christ is forgiving each other. Be forgiving like Christ forgave us. Believers practice sharing the light of Christ to the world through their actions. We're either showing love or we're not. We can grow in that area, can't we? We can show more love. Sometimes that just means closing your mouth and not saying anything more. Turning the other cheek. That's what that's called. I'm going to stop arguing. I'm going to show some love by being quiet. Yes. That would be encouraging. believers practice sharing the light of Christ to the world through their deeds of care. That's why we need to be caring. We want to be a testimony to our Lord and Savior. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus exhorted believers to let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and give you glory. No, glorify your Father in heaven. They know that you claim to be a believer. They know that you claim to walk with Christ. They want to see it. And when they see it, then they'll start believing you're the real thing. Now, we already know that good works do not save us. There will be no boasting of self in glory. That won't be there. Faith, though, without works is dead. It's ineffective. It doesn't work. As written in James 2:26, God didn't just save us to rescue us from the consequence of our sin, but also to reflect His character of goodness to the world. We need to show it. We need to show it. Good works of care are testimonies to Christ. As the Holy Spirit produces spiritual fruit in our lives, like it talks about in Galatians 5:22 and 23, we will act in ways that reflect God's character. That's what people want to see. They want to see God. As new creations in Christ, we will seek to do good works to please God, not for ourselves, but for others. We want to share Christ. Do it by sharing good works. And then let Him have the credit for it. Amen? Amen? We will encourage each other to do this if we do what? If we do it. If we do it. Others will be encouraged to join in and do it. Show your good works. Fellowshipping with other believers gives believers the opportunity to put these good works into practice and surrounds us with examples. Do we need examples? I don't know about you, but I don't read the directions. I look at the pictures. I need examples, okay? Just being honest. And I'll bet most of you men in here are the same way. We need examples. We need examples to stir up the love between us to result in good works. I'm almost done. We don't practice this out of manipulation. We don't do this to make gains for ourselves, for personal glory. Our practice of showing the love and light of Christ by imitating His caring deeds, that's what we're talking about, imitating His caring deeds, while involved in community fellowship, is a huge example of God's Spirit encouraging us to love one another. Isn't that what the Lord told us to do? Love one another. Fellowship. That's what loving one another is, fellowshipping in Christ. Gathering together to worship, study, accomplish building projects, share joy, share somber times, and to reach out by evangelizing with the gospel of Christ, sharing the good news. All those things are ways we can show loving care in this community and in that community. That's all part of showing the loving care. The church is the loving care. We need to show it. Loving others, caring for one another in and outside of the church body brings the Lord much glory. We can glorify Him through our efforts to serve Him by loving care for others. No, I didn't preach salvation today. But if you are hearing from the Holy Spirit that you need salvation, come on, we'll talk. See me after we dismiss. We'll talk. If He's speaking to you about something else, listen. Communicate with Him. Pray with Him. The Holy Spirit will love to lead you into doing those things the Lord would be glorified with. I'm trying to encourage all of us to go to another level of showing loving care. That's what the Lord wants us to do. If you want to make any kind of a commitment, you're welcome to come up here. You can sit on the pew. If you can kneel down, you can do that. I can't do that anymore. Whatever the Lord's talking to you about, you can answer Him right now. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I pray You'll use these words that were spoken today, that I've spoken by Your guidance, to Your glory, to encourage us to show more love and care spontaneously as You help us see it. Just let us bust out in doing what needs to be done as much as we are able. Yes, we have our limitations, Lord, we know that. But help us to do what we can to show that loving care. We want to do it to glorify You and show our love for You. Help us, Lord, to fulfill that desire. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.